Take your Bibles and open them to 1 Corinthians. I invite you there to go to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3. And I want to take one more look going back at verses 1 through 7. And we're going to continue where we left off last week. And in a moment, we're going to go over to Galatians. And we're going to see how these two passages parallel. So notice, if you would, please, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 1. And brethren, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it. Neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying, strife, and divisions, are ye not carnal, and walk as men? And pay close attention there. He's saying, and you're still walking in your flesh, man. And then you notice there in verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. And the telling sign of their carnality was the fact that they were looking to man, picking and choosing their favorite teacher, preacher. And that's what they were doing. And he wanted them to say, it's as if Paul said, well, who are we? You know, we're just doing what God's called us to do, but it's God that does the work. Now, if you would please go over to Galatians in chapter 3. Galatians chapter 3. And you'll notice verse 1. He said, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth? He goes on there down in verse 3. Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and ye now made perfect by the flesh? In other words, you were saved by the Spirit of God. Will you really continue to live for God in your flesh? It can't be done. And then go over a couple of chapters to chapter 5 and verse 16. Galatians 5, verse 16. Now I want you to notice a key word in here. He used it back in Corinthians, that word walk. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye're not under the law. Let's pray and ask the Lord to speak to our hearts today and give us what we need. Gracious Heavenly Father, I thank you for the privilege to preach your word. And Lord, I pray that just as the Apostle Paul stated there to the people in Corinth, Lord, I pray you'd move me out of the way, and Lord, that you would have free reign of our hearts, our minds, and that we would hear from you and your word this morning and what you're saying, and help us to grow in your grace and knowledge. And we thank you, Lord, for what you'll do in Christ's holy name. Amen. Well, as I stated last week, no one here would be foolish enough to fill your car up with a tank full of water. In the first place, you'd never get the engine started probably. It may turn over a little bit. Because from the very beginning of that automobile, it was designed to be powered with gasoline. Designed to be powered with fuel. And from the very beginning of our salvation was powered by the Holy Spirit. And the only way to continue our spiritual life is through the power of the Holy Spirit. And as believers, we can choose to be filled with the elements of the flesh, the elements of this world, or we can be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. He said over in Ephesians, I believe it's Ephesians 5:16, "And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be ye filled with the Spirit." And oftentimes that's used as a springboard to preach against alcohol, and you can definitely make that application there. But it's to be filled with anything other than the Holy Spirit. You see, you could be drunk on materialism. You could be drunk on fashion, things. And at his whole point, it was a wide spectrum. Don't be filled with anything other than my Holy Spirit. And that's key. And I want us to see the third part to this as we're going through 1 Corinthians chapter 3, the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. And I want you to see here several items. We're going to see the command first and foremost. There's always a command to follow. There's a command. But there's also something else we have to deal with. And it's called the flesh. That's the contrary aspect to following and obeying the commands of God, our flesh. For the believer, the opposite of natural weakness is spiritual strength. Allowing God to modify our natural weaknesses into our spiritual strength, which translates into producing the fruit of the Spirit. And this is what the Apostle Paul was teaching the Galatians here in our text. And this is the same thing he wanted the people over in Corinth to understand, who never grew beyond their salvation. He wanted them all as believers, and he wants us as believers to understand, since our salvation began with the power of the Holy Spirit, it can only continue by the power of the Holy Spirit. That's how spiritual life continues, through the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we cannot begin with the power of the Holy Spirit and then be perfected in the power of our flesh. It'll never happen. One of the most serious threats against the church today is the effort of sanctification without the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's exactly what we see here in Galatia. That's exactly what we saw in Corinth. That's exactly what we saw in Ephesus. And so they're trying to live out spiritual life within the means of their flesh. And this is happening all over America in our churches today. Because many churches, many pastors, Christian authors, counselors, well, they've bought into the humanistic ideals of the world. They've bought into the pragmatic thinking of our world. They've bought into psychology. In essence, they're trying to address the spiritual needs of the believer in the realms of psychology. They're trying to address the needs of man in the realms of philosophy rather than the supernatural work of the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. And that's because the Christian faith has been commandeered. It's been hijacked, if you will. It's been hijacked by an overwhelming host of non-believers who have led us in that direction, and who have promoted psychology more than theology. And we're warned again in 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 13. "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. And because of this, many believers today find themselves strategizing with the world's ideologies and therapies in hopes of accomplishing spiritual life. Well, dear friend, I want to tell you today, as your pastor and friend, it'll never happen that way. There's only one way we find power to live out this Christian life, and that is through the power of the Holy Spirit. The Word of God, and keep in mind, John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We must spend time alone with God. And we already know that spiritual life can only be powered by the Holy Spirit. He told us over in one of the minor prophets, Zechariah 4 and verse 6, not by might, nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. We can't do it. It's not in us to do it. You say, well, I'm a born-again believer. Great. Still not in you, unless it's the Holy Spirit within you that's going to do it. But how do we accomplish this? How do we get to that point of being powered by the Holy Spirit? And I'm speaking here of where we're not constantly turning to human solutions, where we're not constantly turning back to the ways of the world. Those human solutions are humanistic solutions. But rather, we're turning to spiritual solutions. In Galatians 5, Paul gave the church of Galatia the solution. And it's also the same solution for you and I today. This is it. And it's a matter of denying our flesh man. Denying our flesh. And the only way we can deny the flesh is by the power of the indwelling Holy Spirit. It's another way. Understand, all difficulties in this life are related to our flesh. All of them. Every wrong action, every wrong reaction, every wrong word, every wrong idea, every wrong attitude, all of that comes from the flesh. Every difficulty, please listen, every difficulty we will ever face in life is a result of fallen humanity, aka the flesh. And listen, though the inner man is changed, but understand, the outer man is still the same, and our world is still the same. So how do we do that? How do we navigate through that? Well, it can be, as we all know, that can be very difficult. It can be very hard. I'll tell you this. We may think we've reached a point that we don't need the Lord, that we don't need to walk in Christ. And it's at that point you'll find yourself on the ground. That's a dangerous place to be. And it's not a matter of ever arriving. Listen, the Christian life is not a wind sprint. The Christian life is a marathon that we are running every single day. All difficulties in this life come from the related issues of the flesh. All of it. Why? Because we're all of Adam. That Adamic sin nature from our great-great-great-great-grandparents, and that's where it came from. We refer to that as the Adamic sin nature. The fruit of the Spirit is all about denying our flesh. they were still walking according to their flesh, not in the Spirit. You see, our greatest problem is our flesh. That is the greatest problem we face. I know you thought I was your biggest enemy. I'm not. I am my biggest enemy. And if you were to be honest, you would say the same about yourself. It's the fact that this flesh we live in is a constant battle. It's a battle between good and evil. It's a constant battle for the enemy trying to stop us. The flesh is our problem. And the reason of this is why we have anxiety, the flesh. And the reason for fear, our flesh. The reason for troubled relationships, our flesh. Everything and every problem of this life will always go back in relation to our flesh. Difficulty in marriage, our flesh. Difficulty in our churches, our flesh. And the reason we have difficulty in cooperating with others, our flesh, which is controlled by our pride. And our pride doesn't want to be told what to do. We don't want to be wrong. You see, our flesh, our natural man, doesn't like to give in. Don't let your pride destroy you. Be willing to step back and learn. Be willing to allow God to show you when it's your pride that's offending you most of all and not the other person. Be willing to call yourself out. I'll give you an illustration. We went up yesterday to see our former pastor in Atlanta. They had their 50th wedding anniversary. He said hello to everyone. And so I guess it was Friday night. I went and washed and cleaned the car and got it all ready to travel and everything. And so I went to Walgreens and I had some Windex. And I just, you know, out there in the parking lot, I said, I'm just going to go ahead and knock this out. And I was just out there cleaning the windows. And about every 10 minutes while I was cleaning those windows, I heard a siren go off. And finally, I started watching. Well, I finally figured it out. There was a sheriff's deputy sitting in the turning lane, and he was catching people left and right running that red light there at Watson Boulevard and Houston Lake Road. Yeah, they do it a lot. And I thought, well, that's what you get. Went home, I told Terry, I said, would you believe he was just pulling one after another over? We were coming up here to the church to get some final things done. On the way, he got me. Ugh, I'm still sick about that. Pride cometh before the fall. By the way, don't run a red light. It's a $280 fine. But I owned it. He came up to the window and says, sir, the reason I stopped you, you ran. I said, I know I did. I own it. I accept it. And you know what? When we drop the ball, we mess it. You know, we just need to own it. And hey, I did. I'm guilty. And not try to find a way out. It's important that we can do that and accept we are fallen creatures full of pride. Now let's go to Galatians 5:16. And first, I want you to see here the command. The command. Galatians 5:16. This I say then, now here you're going to see that word again, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now this is Christian living 101 right here. This is it. The Christian life begins with a simple command, walk in the Spirit. In other words, walking in the Holy Spirit is the means by which we overcome the lust of the flesh. And this is the solution to every single problem we will face in this life. And the word walk is a present active command. And so therefore, in the Greek, it could be translated to read, keep on continually walking. In other words, it continues for every generation. Over and over and on, it doesn't end. Now, the mental image is walking one step at a time, under the control of the Holy Spirit. This is the command for our life. Don't get ahead of yourself. Don't get ahead of God. Take one step at a time. And make sure each one of those steps is in the Holy Spirit. That's the image here. This is the command for our life. It should become habitual, constant, and should become routine. There should never be a question, am I going to read my Bible today? Should never be a question, are we going to go to church today? Terry's told me before, growing up in her home, that that was never an option. They never went to mom and dad and said, hey, are we going to go to church tonight? They just knew they were going to go to church. And plus, every other revival they had in Middle Georgia, they would go. And you know what? Praise God for parents who can instill that in their children to where they wouldn't even ask. They're not asking that question. They just know. It's church time. We're going to go to church. That's one of the things I just thank the Lord so much for Pastor Paul Lavender, his wife, Miss Lavender. They were just always so consistent. And to this very day, 50 years of marriage and 50 years of ministry, he's still pastoring a church out in Utah. Just had a Mormon man trust Christ, got saved. He said, Brother Kenny, I'm going to tell you, I don't think I've ever seen a man to get saved that's on fire like this man. He said, Brother Kenny, he said, hey, why don't we just have church every night? And he's winning people to the Lord. So my point in sharing that is because of Brother Paul and his consistency and continuing, plodding forward. Remember, it's a marathon. It's the plodders. It's not the limelighters. The plodders. The plodders are the one who accomplishes the will of God. And it's important that we plod forward one step at a time, one after another. And this is possible for every believer if we're willing to wait on the Lord, walk in the Spirit. That's our protection from the flesh. Walking in the Spirit. And folks, I don't know about you, but I cannot afford to be without any protection in this Christian life. Some years ago, a friend here in the church, he is now, transferred away from here. They were military. He was in the Air Force, and we became really good friends. He and his wife helped us in our youth group program and did a lot of things with them, a sweet, sweet couple. And as God was getting ready to move them, a week before they left, he came up to the office, and he said, I got something I want to give you. And he gave me a plaque that he had made himself. It had a wood base, and it kind of had like a, looked like the fake kind of glass, you know, but it was really thick. I had no idea what it was. And he had put on there, thank you for your friendship. And up under that, he had the verse, Isaiah 40, verse 31. And Isaiah verse 31, he put on there, and up under there, he put your friend, Tracy Johnson, the canopy of an F-15. It was a portion of a canopy from an F-15. And if you'd like to see it, you're welcome to come to my office and see it whenever you choose. But it's an amazing piece. It's so thick. And it actually flew in Desert Storm, Brother Mike, the war you were in. It flew, it ran many missions in the Desert Storm, and you can see where the sand and everything would hit that glass, but it's bulletproof. That's the number one first protection for that pilot. And the number one first protection for the believer is to walk in the Spirit of God. He said in Isaiah 40, verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord, or in other words, they that rely on His power, shall renew their strength, or they will grow stronger and stronger in faith. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, because eagles fly stronger, eagles fly swifter, and eagles fly higher than any other bird. He continues. And by the way, not only do they fly higher than any other bird, but they're out of reach from any danger as they fly very high. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. In other words, it's doable. It is doable without being weary. Now, I think sometimes we come to that point and we think, well, God, this is just where I'm at. I know Your long-suffering and Your mercy and Your grace can help me, but I know You also understand this is probably about as far as I'll go. You know, we so often shortchange the power of the Holy Spirit, don't we? We are constantly shortchanging and we're discounting what God can really do in our lives. Romans 8 and verse 10, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of His. And if you go back over there, you don't have to turn there, but in 1 Corinthians 6:19, what know ye not? That your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you're not your own. You know, as a believer, we have the Holy Spirit living within us to empower us to follow His word, to obey Him one step at a time. And as believer, we have that opportunity. I think many times we forfeit the opportunity altogether. And if we're going to obey, if we're going to walk in the Spirit step by step, if we'll obey, the will of the Spirit is going to require that we spend time in His Word. So important. And listen, we must know the mind of God. And the only way to know the mind of God is to know the Word of God. This is the command for our life, to walk in the Spirit. Colossians 3:16, let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. Because as the Word dominates our thinking, it dominates our actions, and we'll never be led by the Spirit of God apart from the Word of God. Must have it. John 14:26, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in My name, He shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You see, as the Word moves through our hearts and lives, it moves through our minds, the Spirit of God directs our steps. Because, as Jeremiah said in Jeremiah 10:23, O Lord, I know that the ways of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. It's not in us. Proverbs 16 and verse 9, a man's heart deviseth his way, but the Lord directeth his steps. And the way the Holy Spirit accomplishes this in our life is through His Holy Word. You know, we've learned from Ephesians, 1 Corinthians, Philippians, and we've learned from the letters of the Apostle Paul the concept of walking in the Spirit. The concept of walking, it's referring to our daily conduct, our daily living. And remember, the Christian life again, it's never an arrival. It is a pursuit, a continual marathon. There's never a time in this life when we become permanently spiritual. That's not until we're in glory and we receive that glorified body. But we don't arrive here. The Spirit-filled life is a daily pursuit. That's why Paul said, I die daily. And the same is true for us. We have to die daily to this flesh. Your flesh is not your friend, neither is mine. That is our enemy. So first, the command, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then I want you to notice very quickly, and we're going to close out, notice the conflict. It's in verse 17 of Galatians chapter 5. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. So what is the conflict here? Our flesh is always working contrary to our spirit man. Always. He's always going the opposite direction. Remember, our flesh man, that natural man, our natural sway, our natural bent is toward the world. That's where we want to go always. We want to go that way. Our flesh is always working contrary, pulling like a car out of alignment, constantly pulling us to the ditch along life's highway. But what about 2 Corinthians 5:17? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. Notice the wording in that verse. Old things are passed away, but we haven't passed away. Old things of this life have passed away, but we're still here. That flesh man is still here. We're still living in this mortal body. He is a new creature in Christ at this moment. We haven't passed away. Speaking of our flesh, this is exactly what Paul was saying back in chapter 2. When he said in verse 20, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. That Christ liveth in me, that I may please God, that I may please self, of course not. The option and the only goal here is to please God, our Heavenly Father. The whole idea comes back to 1 Corinthians 10:31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. He said, I'm crucified daily. You know what that means? We have to do the same. Every day. Every day we've got to crucify this flesh. He said, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Paul said, I've crucified the old man, but my new man is alive. It's not me, but Christ that lives in me. That's who he was speaking of. And then, I want you to understand, our new man, is incarcerated. Our new man is incarcerated by our flesh man until the day of redemption. And it's a never-ending battle. In Romans 7 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul said, For I know that in me, or that in that that is in my flesh, there dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. He said that as an apostle. He was saying there is no human solution for a spiritual battle. There's only one solution, and that is the power of the Holy Spirit. Listen, psychology, again, is just a human answer for man's problem. And pragmatic solutions are nothing more than a fleshly solution. And Paul said, nothing good dwells in my flesh. And so get it, when we turn to human reasoning for spiritual needs, it's like pouring gasoline on a fire. You don't need to pour gas on a fire. You need to douse it with water. And by the way, the Holy Spirit's a type in the Bible, water. That's a type of the Holy Spirit. Verse 18, but if ye be led by the Spirit, ye are not under the law. To keep the law required human effort. It wasn't about keeping the law. They were no longer in bondage to the law. And by the way, no man was ever able to keep it save Jesus Christ. He's making the point, if you're led by the Spirit, you're not relying on human effort. Because human effort is of this flesh. So, if even the law of God could not control our flesh man, what makes us think any design of human effort would be able to control this flesh? It can't. It may put a Band-Aid on it. It may put a Band-Aid on it. You may get a little bit of relief. I'll guarantee you, according to the Word of God, it's coming back. And usually it comes back tenfold. We cannot solve our spiritual problems with the world's remedies. It doesn't work. And that's why Paul said, oh, foolish Galatians. What makes you think you could begin in the power of the Holy Spirit of God, but now be perfected in the power of your flesh? They devised their own methods to harness the flesh, if you will. Listen, there's no such thing as harnessing the flesh. We can't. We cannot harness the flesh. It's simply a matter of killing the flesh. That's what it is. We can't harness the flesh. The flesh is the natural man who's in constant conflict with our spirit man. Just like those broken cisterns in Jeremiah's day. It was foolish and they failed. And they held no water. And this I'm closing. In the Pilgrim's Progress, a wonderful allegory. There in that story, there's a section called the Interpreter's House. The parlor in the Interpreter's House was full of dust. And someone came in and started to sweep it. But it scattered everywhere and choked everyone. And then it just fell back to where it was. The Interpreter said, This parlor is the heart of man that was never sanctified. The dust represents man's original sin and inward corruptions. And he that began to sweep is the law. All the law does is it will stir up all the dirt and choke everyone. It doesn't clean anyone. Not even the law of God could harness the flesh of man. You think about that. It shows you how powerful this flesh is. So what makes us think any human effort or device or ideal could possibly ever harness this flesh? Can't be done. The battle in every believer's life is between the flesh and the spirit. It's not between that person that you're at odds with right now. It's not, and listen, I've said it before, you don't need the devil to cause you to sin. We can sin right on our own through the flesh. It's not that individual you're at odds with. It's a fight and a battle to the very end between good and evil. His part is to lead, our part is to follow the Lord Jesus. He leads, we follow. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Great peace have they that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Shall we pray? Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your word. It is so powerful. God, we are no match for this flesh man. And God, I pray that you'd help us to understand the only way we can grow in spiritual life as a believer is through the indwelling power of your Holy Spirit, living in your word, day and night. We never arrive. Lord, help us to be alert. Help us to be alert of our surroundings, because we know this world is still the same. Our flesh man is still the same. And he's looking for every opportunity out in this world. So, Lord, please help us to be alert. And we thank you, Lord, for what you'll do in Christ's holy name. Amen.